So here we go, roaring into the last hour with David Sirita. We are practicing quantum communication, and we will look forward to quantumly communicating with you coming up in just a moment. Also, if you go online at coasttocoastam.com, you'll see that there's some very interesting news stories along this line, too, about our mind, just what our minds are capable of. We had a couple of stories like that, too. On the blog, if you go there, you'll get crypto news for the first hour if you missed it at coasttocoastam.com. And there, too, you can link up to David Sirita and this very valuable new DVD. Where does this intersect with your life? What have you proven that you are capable of doing that others said either you couldn't or that you surprised yourself with even just sort of an innate ability to do? How's your coupling device, and what are your thoughts and feelings about this type of communication, the possibilities that exist within all of us? Next on Coast to Coast AM, this is Ian Punnett. Let's start our questions with Dan in Joplin, Missouri, on Coast to Coast AM for David Sirita of Quantum Communications. Go ahead, Dan.
Well, hello, Ian. It's good to speak with you again. I'm known as Dan, the blind man of the angels of Joplin, Missouri, when I call George Norrie. My coupling device is working superb tonight. I wanted to mention two things. One will take about 30 seconds, and the other about a minute.
Well, we have a lot of callers, so
okay.
You have a question for
Well, I was going to ask him, has he ever heard of people altering their telephones so that something will not disconnect, and then they're attempting to disconnect, and the thing does not disconnect, and then they case in point, reach the show. And the second thing, have they ever heard about people flying or floating like clear up to a balcony in front of 600 people? And I did that in the mid-'80s.
You levitated in the mid-'80s in front of 600?
Yes, I did. I was singing and dancing with some way out jazz people, and they told me, you're going to do something amazing this evening, and 600 people saw me do it. And so I did that, and then just before I called the show, I thought I'd call too early, and I attempted to disconnect to call later, and my phone would not disconnect, and then Gina picked it up.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'll let you go. I just wanted to share those two things.
Interesting. And so that idea of levitation, that goes back to what you had said earlier about both the Christian mystics and Buddhist masters and other people who have been able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, if the caller is blind, then he doesn't even know that there is such a thing as flying or not flying, because you don't have that visual experience. So the limitation, you know, disbelief is the greatest problem in trying to attain this level of quantum communication to achieve any miraculous or even non-miraculous goal that you have. When your mind is saying, okay, I want to manifest this in my life, and then as soon as you don't believe it, you know, in that 30-day or more period that it takes in the incubation process with this very patient and slow and steady, miraculously powerful force, you've already canceled it out. Duality is the greatest problem in the mind. You know, or changing your mind. You know, you say, I want to attain this goal, and you're not passionate from your heart. You're just playing around just to see if it works. Then you go, oh, it's not working because we're used to fast food and everything happening so fast. Oh, this couldn't be real. But it's the slow and the steady that always wins the race.
Colleen is in Rockland, California on Coast to Coast AM for David Sirita. Colleen?
Hi, Ian, and hi, David. I have been diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and this recent episode has led me to the deepest, darkest depression I have ever had. And in the process of trying to deal with this duality in the mind, as you were talking about, I went to a charismatic prayer group at the Catholic Church that I go to, and there were about 50 people there loving each other, praying, speaking in tongues, which I've never been to an event like that. I'm a pretty straight Catholic. I received a healing that I had been desperately seeking in every corner of my life. My question is to you is, David, about the brain and the coupling device with people like me who have had this diagnosis given to them. Is it just that I am so overly sensitive that I can't make this work all the time, or, there are the periods of time
right.
when I feel so close to God and connected to the universe, and that's when I'm manic and I'm feeling like
sure.
Superwoman and I can do anything. There is no limits. And then the opposite, as you talked about, you
right, right. David, how would you help Colleen, David?
Well, I've heard the millivolts of people with depression and bipolar, and when, bipolar people can have extremely high voltage and then really low, like way below 30 millivolts.
Yeah.
And so the extreme, if you're burning high energy and it's a lot of electricity and adrenaline from extreme emotions, you're
yeah.
going to overexhaust your nervous system, much more harmonized, much more steady states of consciousness can really help that. I mean, I cure depression by meditating every day. I'm Catholic mystic myself, but I love all world religions. But there's a tendency with bipolar to go from one extreme emotion, which burns a tremendous amount of energy. It's almost like blowing a fuse and then having to recover, which is different from traditional depression, which is mostly the person can't even get out of the very, very low states.
Right.
And again, those people have very, very low voltage in their nervous system. There's a number of things you can do. I mean, I would, go check out our website through the Coast to Coast AM and then send me an email. That's what I would suggest.
Okay.
Because it's very involved.
It's very involved, but if you're willing to have the conversation, David, I'm grateful for that because it sounds like Colleen is open to that kind of advice. Jeff is in Riverton, Illinois on Coast to Coast AM on a wild card line for David Sarita. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yes, sir. Dr. Sarita and Mr. Bunny, I appreciate your show big time. And I had a question. Are you familiar with a Major Ed and his remote viewing program?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah. How would that, with your quantum consciousness theories and stuff, how do you, what do you think about Major Ed Daines and his remote viewing in the military? And, he was able to access,
You're breaking up a little bit here, Jeff. We're losing about every fourth word. So let's just start there with Major Ed Daines. And any remote viewing, David, you're good with, right? You've been doing that for a long time.
I covered this in Quantum Communication. The President, Jimmy Carter, used remote viewers to hire a missing Russian Tu-22 bomber successfully, after several attempts, so which satellites could not find on their own, just randomly guessing. So obviously the power of remote viewing, it's one of those subjects, that, and Claude Swanson treats this in the film, it's one of the areas where the data is really squashed to make it look like, yeah, sometimes it works, but the percentage rates aren't high. That's the lie. It really works. And you can move forward and backwards in timelines. There's amazing examples. Remote viewing is one of those subjects that when you see it, and you see that Carter used it successfully many times in the presidency in the Pentagon, you wonder, why did we pull the funding, or did we pull the funding at a certain level of secrecy and put it at a higher level of classification so that again, we couldn't get access to it? And would the government want us all developing our minds to become remote viewers, because then there would be no secrets?
Mike is in Livermore, California on Coast to Coast AM on a wild card line for David Sarita. Mike?
Oh, great show, Ian and David. Nice
Thank
to
you.
Talk to you. It's kind of a two-part thing. I'm really hyped on the fact that you've pretty much proven the output of the energy and all that into the collective consciousness, but the reception area seems to be lacking. Part one of it is, how much study has been done in the animal kingdom, such as dogs? I mean, Caesar Milan, the dog whisperer, the stuff he puts out there, the power of the pack,
Right.
The pack leader puts out an energy that the other dogs pick up on. I've learned that with my own dogs, and found a tremendous increase in their ability to understand me and me to understand them.
And I think part of the secret here, too, is if when we as human beings can send out the same energy that the leader of the pack is sending out to the other dogs, how our lives might change, Mike.
Oh, exactly. And on the other end of it, though, is it seems that the energy output on the human side is very high, but the reception is very low. And it, I've heard a lot on empaths, people that are very intuitive, and all that. Some of it comes from a traumatic experience, whether it's physical, emotional, whatever. My wife, in case, she picks up on stuff, whether it's ghosts and things like that, things of the past, or even mostly with her own family. When there's a traumatic experience going on with a family member, a sickness, something like that, she picks up on it. She gets sick over it. She's feeling it. And
right.
The thing about it is that her first marriage, she was abused badly by her husband. She had several concussions, to her head, and which affected her brain. So I'm just wondering how much study has been and shown in that is why these people that go through these traumatic experiences are much more empathic or sensitive to these
things. All right. Let's get an answer for that, David.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, first you started talking about animals. You know, I have a little dog named Nua who, you know, they're just so full of love, animals. And, in fact, even in Native Indian traditions, you know, the reason in the totem system there are animal spirit guides is because animal souls are so pure and untainted by civilization that they have more access to the great spirit. So traditionally you would go through an animal spirit to get to, you know, the higher sources, which you otherwise couldn't do living in a more stressful civilization. You know, I see my little dog looking at invisible beings sometimes on rare occasions, but I think one of the reasons they're very telepathic is because their hearts are incredibly evolved. Scientific experiments have been done with mother and baby rabbits with the nervous system and measuring in real time that the communication over any distance appears to be instant. Of course, you know, we live in a very small sphere on the planet,
right.
So, you know, not instant over cosmic distances, but instant over, you know, spherical distances.
I think that brings us to Terry in Washington on Coast to Coast AM. Terry?
Yeah. The question is, well, we have a consciousness while we're in this lifetime, and when our physical body dies, then what? Have you ever seen any evidence that the consciousness survives death as far as near-death studies? It seems to me that you could almost prove it by emergency rooms having sort of a coding or reader board that only faces the ceiling, because the majority of near-death experiences, the person floats above their body looking down at it, and if they
right.
come back into their body and they're able to read what was on that.
Sure. Yeah, and in fact, the emergency room studies have been very interesting. I think they've already done a lot of them, and I think your question's a great one. Let's go ahead and get an answer from David. David?
Well, once you understand the idea that your body is emitting biophotons and that those biophotons can carry information, your whole life story and memories and experiences in the form of pictures and emotions and all of it, that at the moment of death, yes, scientifically, you can now prove that in a more subtle energy component, even beyond the electromagnetic spectrum, where Dr. Tiller goes. There are instruments now that can start to measure energies in these areas. But, I mean, for myself, from practicing meditation, I see ghosts on a very regular basis. I saw my Aunt Patsy after she died of a brain aneurysm at a Buddhist retreat in San Francisco, crystal, crystal clear. So for me, when that happened, there's no doubt that we survived. But the fun game of chess for me is, you know, getting into the science and seeing, you know, what does science know about this? And is there new knowledge in science or knowledge that can prove it so that, you know, the debate is over? And now there are new, very, very good sensitive camera equipment and gear that can be used. And And this is something I'm going to be actually working on personally, possibly on a new TV show coming up. So,
oh, very cool. Look forward to that. David's in Portland, Texas on Coast to Coast AM for researcher and documentarian David Sarita. David?
Hi, how's it going? Am I on?
Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. First of all, great show, guys. Appreciate, you know, the airwaves. I was actually wondering if you guys, well, I'm sure you guys are aware, but the ancient civilization, the Sumerians and the Anunnaki and that whole, I was wondering if y'all had any opinion towards Dr. Michio Kaku's stage 2 and 3 civilizations. Do you think that those two might be connected somehow and then
it sounds like
connected to the Genesis?
I think David's already hinted where he is on that. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I mean, I follow all that stuff. I've read every one of Sitchin's books, and I'm a big fan of his work, you know. But that gets into a whole other area, you know, actually, than what we're talking about here. I mean, so I don't really know how to answer that. It's
how about for Michio Kaku?
Well, the Type Zero civilization, I definitely believe we are. And I believe there is a ticking clock that you only have so much time. I mean, it may seem like a lot of time to some people, but when NASA scientists say the Earth's magnetic field is collapsing towards zero and it will reach zero in 2,000 years, well, that's not very far down the line, people. And, you know, what could be coming up in 2012 is massive. So there's no way you can fire missiles at the sun to avert these disasters. You can't explode nuclear bombs like the movie Armageddon. It seems like getting in touch with the power of collapse of consciousness is the greatest contender for how we're going to change this. And maybe that's how the universe gives us, you know, it's kind of like a lesson. If you don't solve the problem, well, sorry, you all die and you remain a Type Zero civilization.
Right.
You know, it just makes sense that we just can't continue going on the way we are as organisms that can't fly off the third rock from the sun very far. We have to evolve. We have no choice.
Vincent is in San Antonio on Coast to Coast. Vincent?
Thanks, Ian. Yeah, this is for David. I'm just wondering if you had done any research or if you had even heard of David Lynch, the film director?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, and his organization for Transcendental Meditation. I had just kind of heard about it. I don't really know any details, and I just kind of wanted to bring up the topic and see if you had anything important to say about it, see if there's any link to anything that you're studying right now.
Well, it does go back to that conversation we're having about people who can fly, or at least are working toward being able to levitate, right?
Well, the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi taught Transcendental Meditation, and, you know, David Lynch has a foundation, and he's trying to get kids to meditate, which is a great thing to do, you know, to treat depression and to advance, you know, states of consciousness. Which is ironic because David Lynch films are really, they really lean towards the dark side.
Yeah, they do.
Of consciousness.
But in an interesting way. Yeah, I like them all. In fact, I think I like most of them anyway. But I saw Blue Velvet again for the first time in many years. And I actually think that's a very interesting movie to meditate on.
Oh, yeah. I like the TV series Twin Peaks that he did. That was my favorite.
Yeah.
Blue Velvet was great.
But again, I mean, a lot, especially for the people that are working toward levitation, it may not be something you can do tomorrow. It may not be something that might happen in 3 years or 5 years, but who knows? If you put enough energy into quantum communication, it does seem like, and I mean this quite literally, the sky is the limit. Space is the limit. You can link up to the DVD, Quantum Communication, through coasttocoastam.com. We will link up to you in the next 30 minutes. We'll get as many questions as we can for David Sarita next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. So that's exactly right. What is our collective soul capable of doing? What are our individual brains, minds, consciousness capable of putting together? We'll explore this last half hour with your questions and comments for David Sarita, Quantum Communication, and we'll leave a little time at the end to talk about another DVD of his because it ties into tomorrow night's guest on the Holy Grail, making it to America, to pre-Columbia America, where before even Columbus set foot, perhaps the Holy Grail was here waiting. But what is the Holy Grail in America, and where does sacred geometry fall into that? We'll find out coming up tomorrow night on Coast to Coast AM. You can link up to all of this and so much more at the website, coasttocoastam.com. David Sirita next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. All right, so let's start where we left off and get Rachel in Texas on Coast to Coast AM on a first-time caller line for David Sirita. Rachel?
Hi, Ian, and hi, David. My question is, I have epilepsy, seizure disorder. I've had it since I was a little girl, and I've been told through many years from ample neurologists that one of the symptoms of epilepsy, my particular kind, is that I will feel sort of an affinity for God or sort of a transcendence. The technical term is, you know, like a post-ictal reaction. And so that kind of, you know, like bums me out. Thinking as in the vein of, like, you know, Matthew Alpert's book, which I've read, The God Part of the Brain, that my experiences could all just be basically, you know, biophysical or neurological and not vice versa. In other words, maybe I'm epileptic because I have, like, the coupling thing, you know, that you guys talk about.
Right.
So I just would like some more thoughts on that, please.
Okay. David?
Well, yeah, I've tested epileptics voltage when they're not in a seizure, and they definitely have extremely low body voltage in their nervous system compared to the average person. And, of course, when they go into seizure, the voltage levels are very high. And one of the things you can do is take good fulvic acid minerals to improve your conductivity and lots of lecithin to improve the myelin coating around your nerves to help you. But it is possible that epileptics are tuning into these higher forces, but the body is not able to handle the levels of energy. Like in India, they call these, sometimes when you get a kundalini electrical awakening in your chakras, you literally get convulsions in the body, which I've experienced in the presence of gurus from India, that are quite violent. But there's no doubt that epilepsy is considered a disorder. But if you're having affinity to God when it's happening, it could, in your case, be kundalini, which is a spiritual awakening of electrical energy in the chakra system or the different energy systems of the body. But I would recommend doing those things I suggested and trying some prayers that really help harmonize or soothe your nervous system.
Rachel, how does that sound?
That sounds good. I'm wondering what type of prayers or meditation.
Well, I don't know what your religious orientation is, but your affinity to God, like sometimes affinity to God can be hyperactive, because we get very excited about it, and that can, you know, contribute to more unstable electrical activity in the body. But usually, you know, songs or prayers that are vocal, that are harmonic, like in India, chanting the mantra Om, very simple thing, and it actually comes from the sound of the sun. And I would actually try listening to the NASA Sound of the Sun, which is on our website, and seeing if that helps harmonize your nervous system. There have been a lot of studies done on that. But, you know, no doubt epilepsy is a nervous system disorder, and the myelin coating on the nerves with such persons is very weak. So lecithin, I'm really surprised that a lot of doctors don't prescribe it. It's natural. It's in health food stores. You can get it almost anywhere.
Some people find praying through their anger to be something which is harmonizing. And I put together a website a long time ago full of angry prayers. And it's intended to be the kind of thing that you state so that you kind of get it out there.
Right.
And then you're moving toward something else, being anger-free. So
absolutely.
I put a website together called – you got to put the W's on there, but it's prayersoftruth.com. And I get a lot of interesting feedback on that, and I think you'd enjoy it. Fernando is in east of the Rockies in El Paso on Coast to Coast. Fernando?
Yes, question for David, two-part. Do you see any relationship or distinction between the cosmic consciousness and the Judeo-Christian God? And is there a relationship between individual human minds and the cosmic consciousness?
Well, yeah, first question, definitely, you know, and I've experienced that personally. I mean, when you have your own religious spiritual experience, and for me personally, meeting God or experiencing God was my greatest passion, not becoming a billionaire or anything like that. And I got, you know, consistently meditating every day and being a tree planter and planting over a million trees and doing work that was, you know, synchronistic with good intention, I got my wish, right? So you really do get what you want, but it has to be consistent. But the collective mind of individuals connecting, you know, I believe this conscious and intelligent force that Max Planck spoke of, you know, Max Planck was a Christian, and he also had a great affinity for the Hebrew religion and the Jews. In fact, he gets involved in an attempt on Hitler's life, and
yeah. He
gets caught, and they assassinate his son. Obviously, he was too valuable as a mind, or they would have assassinated him. But you know, when the scientist is affirmed of the spiritual and the religious, it's, you know, they're convinced. They've seen the data, they've seen the proof, but convincing others, you know, that's the tricky part. That's where it gets very difficult.
Yeah. Will is in Madison, Wisconsin on Coast to Coast AM for David Sarita. Will?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. One of my sons is an MD, neurophysiologist, and psychiatrist. My question is on savants. Some rare people are born as savants. They are people, as you know, who can recall some year, day, 40 years ago in their life. They are amazing people, very rare. My question is, do some rare people have an ability that most of us have lost, the savants, for example? And have you ever had a chance to study savants, measure their voltage, etc.? I am very fascinated by the savants.
That's a good question. Interesting question.
Well, I've measured over 600-700 people's voltage at this point in time in my own personal study, and using techniques to improve the human body voltage is one of the things that I have. But savants are not someone that I've encountered yet and done, you know, my own studies on, you know, why they have this ability, you know, why their memory is so flawless, like they can name the weather on that day.
Right, right. And it would be interesting to measure, just like you've done in other people, though, to measure their output before you trip into that area in which they are an expert, whether it's music or art or whatever it is, and then measure their output differently when they're in that state.
Well, measuring the aura, the voltage and the current, because the current in the nervous system, you know, usually, you know, if the aura gets brighter and goes into a higher state of consciousness, usually there's an increase in voltage.
Right.
But not always. Sometimes when we pop out of the body state, the voltage drops to nothing as well.
Okay. Well, let's get to Pam in Texas on Coast to Coast. Pam?
Hey, Texas is really cooking tonight.
Yeah, really.
Hi, David.
Hi.
It's a wonderful pleasure to talk to you.
You too.
I would like to know, I'm a heart math student, actually.
Oh, great.
And I was really happy you mentioned that. I'm taking classes on the internet. And if anybody wants to, they can Google Fiera, F-Y-E-R-A, and they can find out how to do that. I wanted to know, if you can't see colors, I'm blind. Would you be able to think of a sound or a smell that would be one of those colors that would raise your vibration?
Well, Dr. Valerie Hunt, who did studies on the human aura, again, UCLA professor and MD, found that every color has a sound. In the same way, the sun produces myriads and myriads of frequencies. So, you know, that might be an interesting, you know, thing to attempt and to try.
Right.
Exposing yourself to the full sound of the sun, but also then trying to find the sounds of the various colors.
Tom is in Montana on Coast to Coast AM. Tom?
Yeah. Greetings, David and Ian. About 15 years ago, I was able to have communication with aliens with mental telepathy. Is that the quantum communication, would you say?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and that's one of the things, you know, based on Dr. Teller's model, that if we, in our different energy systems of our body, can communicate with the Pleiades in a quarter of a second, scientifically measured, then it's very possible that a person can be receiving messages from distant races, but also when they're in close proximity to our planet, whether interdimensionally or physically, it just makes perfect sense. The human organism is far beyond an iPod. It's far more amazing than, you know, watching videos in your iPod. You just have to learn how to operate it. And
right.
Some people, these things happen accidentally, and other people meditate for many, many years like me, and then they eventually start happening.
Mike is in Oregon on Coast to Coast AM for David Sarita. Mike?
Hey, Ian and David. Great show. I like these kind of shows that talk about consciousness, you know, Greg Braden and so forth.
Sure.
Yeah, my question is, it seems that there's a lot of media, mythology, archetypes concerning Dracos, that kind of thing, gargoyles. Do you think possibly that the group that is oppressing humanity is beyond human?
Well,
let's go for the question. Do you believe that humanity is being oppressed?
Well, we're being oppressed because we're allowing it. You know, we're not we're letting those forces have their role over us. You know, we're believing it. As soon as you don't believe it anymore, you don't give it any power. It just removes
goes away. Right. Because I think that, you know, I guess I don't mentally live in a state of oppression, or am I not oppression conscious?
Well, we can physically be oppressed in our current stage of development, definitely, with weapons and you know, prison and all these different things and
right.
forces. There's no doubt. I mean, they oppressed Jesus Christ physically, nailed him to a cross. So it just shows you that we're not at this current time evolved enough to avoid that. But if you transcend your fear of what weapons and oppression, physical oppression, can do to you, and you don't let it have any energy on you, then if that act occurs to you, it doesn't affect you.
Paul's got the last question here in Fontana, California, on Coast to Coast. Paul? Wait, didn't I not hit that strong enough?
20 seconds. I was reading Ray Kurzweil's incredible book, The Singularity Is Near, and I was meditating as I was walking along. And I thought to myself, well, E equals MC squared is missing something. What's the next step in the whole thing? And I went, wait a second, why is C squared the unanswered part? All of a sudden I realized, I thought, information is what's lacking. That's what's lacking in our next step to understanding the unified theory of everything. And to that extent, I also had a weird thought at the same time while I was meditating. I thought, you know, maybe the sun is transmitting digital signals at such a fast rate that we can't understand them. But I was thinking to myself, you know, when I sleep at night, maybe the sun is actually communicating with me unconsciously, and I don't even know it. Now, that's a very far out thought, but I
not
really
to David Sarita, it's not. Go, David?
Well, that sun is doing something up there.
Well, absolutely. And that brings up, you know, tonight I'd like to announce a petition. If you are a PhD, MD, or master's, send an email to davidsarita@hotmail.com. If you believe consciousness should be included in the four forces and become the fifth force, if you've seen evidence and you're convinced of that, I'm trying to create a petition list, and I've already got many signatures so far, so we can present it to major universities and the media that there is enough evidence on the table right now. Consciousness needs to be acknowledged, as Max Planck and Einstein both admitted, as a force.
Well, I love the way that we kind of tie up that topic in a bow with that particular appeal. Let me ask you about Mona Lisa's Little Secret. I've got the DVD. I haven't cracked it yet because I was busy going over tonight's material.
Oh, yeah.
Quantum communication. But tell me about Mona Lisa's Little Secret, your other DVD, which is available at your website.
Well, you know, Ian, I'd love to do a full show with you on this if you feel it's warranted after you see it, because it's an enormous subject, and it's not superficial at all. But in a nutshell, you know, in my you know, many, many years of meditation and my ability to see invisible beings fall three-dimensionally, I believe Mary Magdalene appeared. That's who appeared at the front of my bed 2 November 11th ago and showed me how to decode the Mona Lisa. And it's really not abstract. It's very, very profound. So when you get a chance after you see that, if you'd like, I'd love to do a show with you if you think it's warranted.
I'm sure. What's the secret that's so shocking that it would rock the foundations of Christianity?
Well, I think, you know, if you know the history, when Da Vinci was alive in the 16th century, I mean, he's born in 1452, you know, one year after the Muslims conquered the church at Constantinople, and all of the power in Christianity would go to Rome and the Catholic Church. And in that period, the Gnostic Gospels, the Gnostic Christian Gospels, that gave so much power and evidence and significance to the divine feminine, and that women were not allowed to vote on the decision-making process on what was to be included and canonized, was still loose and in hand during Da Vinci's life. It wasn't until the final council at Trento in Italy, just after his death, that the four Gospels were canonized. So he lived in the fear of the time of the Inquisition for not only believing in the power of the divine feminine, but there are actual Gospels where Jesus physically shapeshifts into a woman, the feminine image of God, in front of his disciples, and they're all named and mentioned there. And what's hidden in the Mona Lisa is absolute proof of this transfigurative process of the divine feminine and the masculine. And it's something that certainly when people get the whole picture of the history and they see the scientific evidence and the tests that were done on the Mona Lisa painting and using Fibonacci mathematics and encryption technology, we have fully decrypted the painting. So when you see it, you know, just see what you think.
And you've yet to do this discussion on Coast to Coast?
No, I haven't done. I've mentioned it briefly before with George, but I've never done a full show because it involves a lot of historical background that is not well known in the Da Vinci Code and Dan Brown's work. And I, you know, I've been studying Christian mysticism in the Gnostic literature, I mean, over a decade before any of his work came out. And what we've discovered between my wife and I and my apparition, I believe, whom was Mary Magdalene, is far beyond this.
I would look forward to seeing that. And it'll be interesting to see what comes up tomorrow night. I think you might enjoy the work of a geologist, a university-trained geologist. He's been investigating these mysterious runes.
Oh, yeah.
And how he believes these all tie together for a holy grail shift here into the early world. So thank you so much for all of your time and for the great question and answers there in that last hour. And I look forward to taking a look at Mona Lisa's little secret. And don't be surprised if you get a little call from
That'd
me coming
nice.
Up.
Thank you so much, Ian. You're a very gracious and intelligent host and loved talking to you tonight.
You're nice to say that. Thanks for dancing with us. It was such a pleasure. And thank you, too, for everybody else, too, who's been online and taken a look at some of the pictures we've got up there in the blog and everything. Tomorrow night, believe me, you're going to want to catch this show. And it's going to make you look for stuff in your own backyard. It's out there. And some of these pieces have been in front of our nose the whole time that will explain the Holy Grail in America, the Hooked X, Sunday night on Coast to Coast AM. Deus te amat, and I do too.